It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Red Sox Beat Podcast, presented by CLNS Media. That's your leading online video and audio provider for Major League Baseball. I'm the host of the show, Chris Cotillo from MassLive.com.
That's presented by CLNS Media. Your leading online audio and video provider for Major League Baseball. I'm the host of the show, Chris Cotillo from MassLive. This is August 8th, episode 228 of the show. It's presented by Bombas and betonline.ag. We'll be hearing more about them later. A very special guest and a history on the podcast today. You're going to have to save your ticket stubs because we have a live recording between me and Rob Bradford from WEEI, and he has a small podcast himself.
Is it... First of all, how many episodes is this, did you say?
228.
How is that possible?
There was a show before the
Chris
Cotillo
era. Oh, there was a show. Oh, this is a carryover.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not my 228.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing this you were like 2 years old, no?
No, I joined this year, so it's probably my 15th,
Who did it before?
People at CLNS. People,
okay.
People
are great. So, people CLNS. Some very bitter people who are...
I think Evan Drellick might have hosted a show.
Is that true?
He's on there somewhere.
Ooh, he had a big... Is that one of the big David Stearns podcasts that he did? John Daniels? Go down the list of executives? I don't understand why these podcasts aren't clicking. But
yeah,
anyway...
I don't think he was a host of Red Sox Beat.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you are lomping on to the glory of others who have built this podcast. You're taking to another level.
Yeah. It's a new level. This is, I guess, your first appearance on the Red Sox Beat.
As far as I know, I mean, I could have done episode 113. I have no idea.
Probably 5 years ago.
I very well could have done it.
Rob obviously hosts the Bradfoe Show. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about your new... your rickshaw era of that show that's now...
Do you like the rickshaw?
I've never been on one before in my life.
No.
But do I like that you're...
It's also called... Can I swear on this? No?
Yeah, sure.
Ass taxi. Well, it's
ass
not...
Taxi?
Yeah, they said it's an ass taxi or pedicab, mm-hmm. I guess. So I did a podcast on one of those, and I feel like, Chris, that I want to take podcasting to another level.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way of doing that by appearing on your show.
Right.
And it gets boring if you're just doing the same way all the time. So we did a podcast on an ass taxi, and mm-hmm. Which is things I've never thought I'd say when I broke into this business. But it's So we were trying a little bit here, a little bit there. We got a flurry of podcasts next week, but none more important than the one I'm on right now, episode 1,012.
228. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Of Red Sox Beat. So you can hear Rob's rickshaw ass taxi. Who are your guests for that? You have Alex Spear.
Oh no,
on.
This is Kerosene Ken Laird, producer, okay. and hot taker of WEI. Mm-hmm. Alex Spear though is going to be promoting his book next week, and in the meantime, also we have a couple players. We have Xander Bogaerts and Matt Barnes.
Wow,
yeah, it's a flurry of excellence. Mm-hmm. So, do you like doing podcasts?
I do. You know, it's a good time. Weekly thing. I mean, when I get to spend time.
I was on the radio with you once.
Yeah, that was...
You weren't bad. You
ended up...
A little vitriol.
Yeah, I mean, it was Evan Drellick talk.
You nervous?
Right now?
No.
You were nervous then?
Well, I feel a little nervous right now. But were you nervous on the radio?
No.
I mean, you've done radio. You've done radio.
It's the end of a long day at Fort Myers, so...
So you're just like...
Previewing the Duke Carolina basketball game.
I know. Your thoughts were elsewhere.
Yeah, my thoughts and prayers were...
You like, but you like podcasting?
I do.
You do?
It's been good.
What do you think?
Are you hosting the show or is this?
Yeah, I'm not. You asked me what I wanted to talk about before the podcast, so I'm telling you on the air.
All right, go ahead.
What do you like? What do you think that makes a good podcast? Do you listen to podcasts besides your own?
I do. I listen to yours religiously.
Do you listen to all other podcasts? Do you like? I mean, you said you like podcasts. What makes a good podcast?
Obviously, staying engaged, that kind of thing, which I know we do on the Red Sox Beat.
I'm like, oh my goodness, I am so engaged with you right now. Staying engaged, like you, when you do a 20-minute podcast, making sure that it's interesting the entire time. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important not to stay on one topic, such as the ins and outs of podcasting, for more than
a couple months. You're driving the boat. Let's go.
All right. Driving the ass taxi, some may say.
Sure, sure.
All right. So we're here at Fenway Park. Beautiful day in Boston. Angels are in town after...
By the time people listen to this, it'll be pouring rain. So
okay, so it was a beautiful day in Boston when we recorded it. It depends on and how quickly we get it turned around. But this is obviously a matchup of two teams that have been horrible lately. The Angels have lost 6 in a row. I'm not sure if you knew that or not. It's true. Red Sox have lost 9 out of 10. Rob, is there any chance these Boston Red Sox make the postseason this year?
It's going to be completely dated by the time people hear it. What's going on?
Should be out by tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. But you know how it works. It takes a couple of people to latch onto it.
Right.
2 games from now, who knows? I mean, this is a story that this is the lesson that we've learned, Chris, over the last week. It's the fickle nature of the great game of baseball. The
great game of baseball,
folks.
I mean,
it's so what was your question? Are they going to be in it?
Is there a chance that they will be in the postseason? I think it's over.
Of course. You do?
Yeah.
Seen the schedule? What are they now? So they're 6 back of Tampa as we sit here doing this dated podcast. I think because the schedule is so awful, that I think that they could potentially hang around. Because what? Cleveland's the only team that's any good that they're playing. But at the same time, we say that when Kansas City comes rolling through and, you know, you lose a game and you have
to... You went 1-1-1 against them.
You won 1-1. Like, it's weird that I predicted they were going to go 1-1-1 at the end of the series. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's the thing. I don't think... I mean, you have to sweep that series, almost have to sweep or at least...
No, you have to win series. He's right. When Cora says that, you have to win series.
But if you're playing Kansas City and Baltimore, you at this point, you actually have to sweep. That's what I think.
No, you have to win series. You have to win the Cleveland series. You have to win the Tampa series.
You have to win the Cleveland series, but you have to sweep the really bad teams.
You technically don't. I mean, I'm not a math major. No. If we can get out the CLNS abacus here.
But if you're thinking, okay, you have the Yankees again, the Rays, you're probably going to 4-game series against the Yankees at home. Probably not going to win 3 or 4 again because they've been destroying you the whole season.
Who knows?
So you split that. That means you have to sweep the Orioles when they come into town twice. You have to sweep the Royals when they come in.
Put it this way, Chris. It would surely help if you swept the Orioles.
It would.
If you took
instead of losing 2 out of 3 last time.
But as we also sit here, we have just gotten the news that David Price is hurt and he's not pitching, and who knows how long he won't be. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about David Price, but one of the things that we took away from this rut they've been in is that you need David Price. You need Chris Sale, and you're going to be rolling out Brian Johnson and Hector Velasquez or whoever.
Andrew Cashner.
Well, you're still going to be rolling out Andrew Cashner.
I know, but that's already a problem.
Okay. So. What, is he going to pitch twice in the rotation? I mean, so I am a big proponent of this, Chris. I'm a big proponent of you start stretching out Eovaldi, and if for multiple reasons. Number one, maybe you'll need him as a starter. You do know that he probably would be better than what you have. And secondly, you see what you have in him, right? Let's go. Let's see what you have in Nathan Eovaldi. What do you get to lose?
I think they're still too worried about the arm. I mean, somehow.
Well, he just pitched 2 innings and...
2 innings and 5 is much different.
And he sprinted into the clubhouse and said, "Put me in again, coach," right?
Yeah, he sprinted to the office.
That's what he is. That's basically the image that we get every time.
Every time he talks about Eovaldi, it's this over-eager, this guy who never, like, breaks from the same emotion. The only time he gets excited is the "put me in, coach" moment on a daily basis.
I feel like he comes in and then he flexes at the end of, like, every sentence. So I don't know if you're on board with that, but I feel like you start going down that road because you have nothing to lose, and I think you have everything to gain. You have nothing to lose except the guy's arm blowing out,
right.
But you have everything
for
to gain.
For the third time
in
his life.
If his arm blows out this time around, then it was going to blow out at some point over the course of this contract. You got to figure out what you have in him.
I think they overcommitted to him as a reliever by basically shoving that line down everybody's throats so much.
The closer?
People can't grasp that we have Nathan Eovaldi in our bullpen.
This was a straight ball right down the middle to compare this, what they were saying heading into this trade deadline, to what they did last trade deadline with the whole Tyler Thornburg, five outings. He gave up one hit, no runs. Like, guess what? We don't need a reliever. We have Tyler Thornburg.
And Steven Wright's going to come back.
Steven Wright. Again. Yeah. Well, in that case, it was Ryan Brazier or Ryan Berry.
Brazier.
Yeah. Or in Tyler Thornburg. So, you know, hey, I know we didn't get Kelvin Escobar. I know we didn't get Brad Hand.
Who's Kelvin Escobar?
Oh, did I say Kelvin Escobar?
Yeah, Kelvin Escobar has been retired since like 2002.
Well, they didn't get him either. Kelvin Barrera. Kelvin Escobar, Herrera? Oh, man. He was a great fantasy. He had a good little
Blue run. Jays, right?
Blue Jays, yeah.
I think it was Kelvin.
Here's a story about, so I was doing a book, Theo Epstein's First Year Falling Around.
Here we go with the plugs.
If you want to buy Chasing Steinbrenner for literally a cent on Amazon, hopefully this makes you do it. But you're sitting in the dugout with Theo Epstein, and Escobar he was pitching for the Blue Jays. He was pretty good. And he was talking to, I think he was talking to J.P. Ricciardi, and he says, you were talking about trading for him. It's like, what's the latest with the thing? And his thing was like, there was some sex tape scandal, right? And so he gets off the phone. I'm like, oh, that's great. It's great for the book. Yeah, don't put that in the book that we're all trying to trade for a guy with a sex tape scandal. So anyway, that was Kelvin Escobar. They did not get him or Kelvin Herrera.
Kelvin Herrera.
That's what he says. It was
Kelvin and Kelvin. Big difference there.
Okay. Well, yeah. One half a letter. But anyway.
It is half a letter. But in the case of the end, it's a full letter.
Whatever. They didn't get either one of them. And my point is very well taken by myself. Which is, you know, you're basically saying the same stuff about Nathan Eovaldi. I think Eovaldi will be better than or more productive than those guys, or at least Thornburg was. But they're saying, we got this closer. Do you got to do another read at some point?
I haven't done one yet.
Okay. You got a break for a read now?
No, you can keep going. Finish your thought.
That's it. I finished my thought. I think they get suckered in. They got suckered in a little bit. So he wasn't going to be the be-all and all. And by the way, they didn't even need a closer because they didn't win any games. So far, Nathan Eovaldi's impact hasn't been exactly prolific as they had suggested.
No, not as much as guys even like Darwinson Hernandez, Josh Taylor, kind of these unheralded options.
Would you put Darwinson Hernandez as a closer or a starter to be next? I'm sorry, as a reliever or a starter next year?
I mean, probably a reliever right now.
Yeah, a reliever, right? Yeah,
he walks too many guys to start.
I think that some guys, his attention span, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. First sign of addiction is denial.
The lefty-righty Workman-Darwinson combo to start your bullpen with is not bad.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. It's going to be – they can put it on the meaty guy. Print up the meaty guy covers next year. The lefty-righty combo
of Workman-Darwinson. Just as we expected. All right, the odds, though, are against the Red Sox. This is the read you've been waiting for from betonline.ag. To win the AL East, they are plus 5,000. To win the American League, plus 1,600. To win the World Series, plus 3,300. Are those good odds, Rob Bradford?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
All right, they're not good odds. But baseball season is obviously in full swing, and placing a wager on any game has never been easier than with the best odds at betonline.ag. This week, we'll be watching the Red Sox and Angels, and the NFL preseason is already underway. Are you excited about that, Rob?
I kind of am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Big time.
NFL preseason? It's good. This is where we find out guys like Tim Tebow can't throw a spiral.
Right. Jared Stidham time for the Patriots. Tonight, am I allowed to say tonight, or just going to be dated again?
It's dated.
Okay. Well, whenever they play the Lions, then
the
it's
first
going to
exhibition
be
game.
Celebrate another season kicking off. BetOnline AG and CLNS Media are giving you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Head over to betonline.ag and use your mobile device to join today. Use promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, you got that, Rob, to receive your welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines this football season or baseball season, basketball season, wherever there are sidelines. Get into the action. I was looking at you trying to get you to laugh during it. And you didn't bite. Get into all the action with betonline.ag, which is your online sportsbook experts. A minimum deposit of $55 is required to qualify for the bonus. It is on betonline.ag. AG like Attorney General Rob Bradford.
After you listening, you read that, I'm jumping online.
You're jumping on? Yeah.
I'm jumping online.
$55. Minimum deposit. So if you can, you might need to skip a meal in the Fenway cafeteria tonight to swing.
I get it for free. It's called rights holders.
The rights holders. Let's get back to David Price.
It's okay. Wherever you want to go, it's your show.
We just got out of Alex Cora. He was kind of explaining what was going on with David Price there, and said it wasn't elbow related, said it wasn't shoulder related, no timetable, assist on his wrist.
You pounded the question. You said, is this carpal tunnel related?
We thought we're never supposed to reveal who asked the questions. Can't say I asked him or you asked him. Or
no,
he was asked.
Don't ever do like I was the one who asked that question.
Well, I asked David. I asked
you
Alex.
You can do it now that I opened that
door. He's already opened the door for us. But I asked if it was carpal tunnel related, and he said emphatically that it's not, which is all in the same area. Alex Speer, who I believe has a medical degree.
He corrected me, by the way, on the Pedroia like surgery, which I can't even pronounce it. I don't even know what it was. So whatever, I said, so he had this surgery. He's like, actually, it was sub blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
I'm like, really?
An easy mistake to make.
I mean, I know. Nobody has made me feel more dumb more often than Alex Speer.
Yeah,
it's a guy who I love dearly. I work with for years.
He uses words that nobody understands.
Well, that was the thing with him. Always with players. It's like he would players like the one that we're talking about right now, like Pedroia. It was sort of like, what are you talking about? But Alex is the nicest guy in the world, so it's like just write it down for us a little bit. Just take every third word. Piece it together, and you'll get a very, very good question.
Well, Alex Speer had tweeted out earlier today something about how Price had the carpal tunnel, and I thought, oh, this could be related. And after a quick Google search, there were some things that maybe this is related to it. Maybe he's, the way he grips the ball. Who knows? I wasn't here on the beat for that wonderful, carpal tunnel era, Fortnite-related, as some may have guessed and others have squashed. But
was that I'm trying to get the timeline. That was also the allergy thing, right, too?
May 2018. In the Bronx, right?
Yeah. Oh, I got a story about that, but I'll save it for another time.
No, go ahead. We got plenty of time.
Oh, you want me to tell you a story?
I want to hear the story, yeah.
So we were in... When did you come on board?
June 1st, last year.
So it was before that. It was just before that.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're in Texas, and he was supposed to pitch at Yankee Stadium. Price was supposed to pitch in Yankee Stadium.
And this is before he had ever pitched while there.
Right. The whole idea was he's going to Yankee Stadium, and this is his chance for redemption.
Yep.
And so I'm sitting in a Sunday morning in Texas. I'm sitting in the dugout by myself talking to someone probably very important on the phone. He comes out.
Joe Kelly.
It was on the phone. So we only do things in person.
All right.
Leave
that to the listener's imagination.
Price walks out, and then like 10 minutes, he walks back in with a trainer. So I'm like, that's weird. So I'm trying to ask around, is there anything wrong? Nothing. And then, so after the game, I go up to him, and I legitimately, since everyone said there was no big deal, it was nothing to see, I legitimately wanted to ask him about, hey, are you looking forward to pitching in New York? And he goes, just ask me what you want to ask me. I'm like, what? Oh, that? I saw you come off the field? And he said, no, I just had allergies. And that was it. And then Lavangi said he had allergies. Mm-hmm. And then so they go to New York and they have an off day. Come back.
All in bad in Arlington that time of year?
I don't know. But then Tuesday rolls around and we find out said he has the carpal tunnel. I was pissed because I'm like, what? Like, you told me you had allergies. And basically said, I did have allergies, but I also had this carpal tunnel thing as well. And so that's why I remember the two were linked with the allergies. And he does. And then you do a Google search. He has had this bizarre thing with allergies before, which is, you don't sound like you're looking at me.
I have allergies.
Right, so you can.
I don't have carpal tunnel, though. Well, I think we're all going to get it.
Clearly, it's like one thing leads to another.
Yeah,
it's like the gateway. It's the gateway disease.
And I have a unique elbow as well, just like David Price.
There you go. So anyway, it's not a bad question by you. I mean, you never know unless you ask, and you were shot down by the manager.
That happens. We all get shot down.
Just keep coming.
Rob's asked some of the worst questions of the year.
So I don't ask questions. I make statements.
That's true.
There's
nothing that ends with a question mark. A lot of talk about from Rob Redford. Talk about Game 7 of the Bruins Maple Leafs.
It's Game 7. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
The best core answer of the year. One of them, Rob, makes his statement. Game 7, Bruins Maple Leafs. I feel like, was it a day game we had? Or was it
no,
late
no.
at night?
So it wasn't even. It was Maple Leafs. And so my
first round.
My thought
it was
a
day game.
My thought was knowing that Alex Cora started in a game seven as a player. 08 as a shortstop for the Red Sox, and has been in game sevens. We can merge the two. And he had no time for it. But then it became a running joke. And then the last, when they had the game seven, did they play a game? I can't even remember. Stanley Cup Finals? They played.
Yeah, they did play game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals. So, they lost to the Blues.
Yeah, so the game seven, when they had that, the press conference, it basically ended. And then he looked at me. He's like, he just like goes, okay, Alex, game seven. And he gave a good answer. The lesson is sometimes it takes a few press conferences to get where you want to go.
Well, the first one he said, I've got kids, bro. Seriously? Trying to get out of there. Speaking of kids.
He didn't say, by the way, that was misquoted. He did not say that.
All right, well, speaking of kids. What was the cool thing when you were in school, Rob Bradford?
Oh, this is what?
The Bombas ad.
It was, I already mentioned it earlier on the podcast. It was the abacus.
The abacus, of course. Yeah. The CLNS abacus.
In the one room schoolhouse. Yeah. What was a cool, so I respect this question because it's sponsored.
Right.
What was a cool thing? I mean, it's the same thing as cool now. It was video games, except it was something called Atari 2600.
What about Sox? Were Sox cool back then? The Red Sox, for example.
Were the Red Sox cool or were Sox?
Were Sox cool.
No, you pulled up socks high. You had the three striped socks and you pulled them up to your knees.
Well, now it's Bombas socks that bring out all the jealous kids.
I love Bombas socks. Yeah? If I had those when I was climbing the jungle gym in third grade, that would be awesome.
They are the most comfortable kids' socks ever because they're colorful. They're bursting with color and they even have a little colorful bee on them for Bombas. They're designed with several comfort innovations that help make them feel better than any other kids' socks ever made. You can send your kids back to school with the socks to keep them comfy, comfortable, colorful, and ready to take on the school year. Since Bombas donates a pair of socks for every pair purchased, you should get yourself some too. It's a good segue this weekend, Socks for Socks at Fenway Park. So if you're coming to any games, is that what they call it, the Socks for Socks drive?
Yeah. Why are you telling people to buy socks and give them away?
Well, you don't give away your Bombas. Give away the ones you're replacing them with.
Give away your crappy socks, not the
Bombas. Right. You're going to replace them with the Bombas.
Exactly. Good move.
Thank you. Visit bombas.com/socks, S-O-X, and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/socks for 20% off your first purchase. Bombas.com/socks. Good segue with the Socks for Socks this week. Yeah, this weekend.
You've evolved a lot as this podcast.
And I've had 228 episodes to get it right.
It was amazing. It's like, what episode did you start, seriously?
I really don't know. Probably 201, maybe, around there.
You've done, so I'm no math major.
20, I don't know.
23?
Started beginning of April, once a week.
I'm telling you, whoever did the first 200 is bitter as you know what.
Yeah, they never got Rob Bradford on here?
They may have. Again, episode 113. Go look it up. But they built this thing, and then you're just globbing on. Maybe you're taking it to the next level. Who knows?
Well, I mean, with guys like you wearing a picnic table plaid shirt overlooking Fenway Park.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the things. Why don't you take a picture? Why don't you do a video of this? What's going on?
No one wants to see that. Rob and I had a little Twitter tiff. Well, it wasn't a tiff. He was fake angry at me in person for one night the other day because he wore maybe the most wrinkled shirt I've ever seen to his workplace where he's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Gregg, Red Sox PR maven, was quoted in the clubhouse by looking at Rob and saying, did you take that out of your wallet and wear it? So this is the official chance for Rob Bradford to respond. I put the picture on Twitter over that night. It got, you know, some people were looking at it, talking about it. There were some updates. I forget, someone from EEI tweeted out an updated version.
So what I would ask you is, you ever go by the risk reward mentality? Yeah. All right, so
it's low hanging fruit.
Your initial reaction is, I want to get a lot of pat on the backs and a lot of attaboys from taking this picture of Rob Bradford in the wrinkled shirt. You did.
There were attaboys to be had. So naturally I had to tweet that, and Rob didn't like it, but still came on the show today and was very all over the place, as he always is on these types of things, but we appreciate it anyway. Another big Red Sox storyline, transitioning kind of to some solo talk here for the last few minutes. Dan Shaughnessy from the Boston Globe writing this week about the future of Dave Dombrowski. I think this is very interesting as Rob departs.
Where will Dave Dombrowski be in a year? Will it be in Boston? Will it be retired? Will it be in a special advisor role with another team? You know, that remains to be seen. I think what the Red Sox have done this season is open the window for Dave Dombrowski to depart. You know, it's been only 9 months or whatever since they've won the World Series, and that was a team that was put together by Dave Dombrowski largely. He made a couple big moves, a couple big trades during the trade deadline season last year. Steve Pierce, Nathan Eovaldi, a couple big trades, Chris Sale, Craig Kimbrell, that obviously helped that team a lot. And just a few months later, we're talking about Dave Dombrowski potentially leaving the Red Sox. Dan Shaughnessy with that interesting note in his Sunday column, I believe the other day, where he said he'd be shocked to see Dave Dombrowski come back to Boston as the president of baseball operations. He listed Eddie Romero, who's one of the assistant GMs of the Red Sox, as a potential replacement. So that's a storyline to watch. My initial take on that is I'd be surprised. I still think, you know, obviously the way they managed the bullpen hasn't been great. You know, Dombrowski's kind of been a little tone deaf on how he's looked at the bullpen and seeing, you know, all these guys that really haven't performed. But this team was built on its starting pitching. I think everybody agreed heading into the season, all right, you have Price coming off a great October. You have Sale, who should be healthy with the shoulder. You have Porcello in a walk year, who's going to be motivated. You have Erod, who every year people talk about, you know, making that jump forward, and he has. And then you have Nathan Eovaldi coming off what he did in October, and fresh off a $68 million contract. Dave Dombrowski in January said, our rotation is second to none. I think at that point it looked like that was a definite possibility, that it could be, you know, one of the best in baseball, or at least one of the strengths of the team. And it hasn't been, and that is not necessarily on Dave Dombrowski. You couldn't have imagined, you know, everything that's gone wrong to go wrong. So I think it's very interesting that that's starting to be talked about. Alex Cora is definitely safe, but his boss might not be. And so as I have, you know, live on masslive.com is a look at GM candidates who could eventually replace Dave Dombrowski when he leaves the Red Sox. I think there's a couple interesting internal candidates. Eddie Romero is one. Brian O'Halloran, who handles all the contracts and everything for the Red Sox, he's another one. From the Diamondbacks, a few executives there. I think the big fish that they would try to get would be their former GM, who was under Dombrowski, who is now the GM of the Diamondbacks, and Mike Hazen, who's obviously been with the Red Sox for a while. A couple of his associates and lieutenants there. Associates, lieutenants, whatever. It's all the same thing. Assistant GMs, Jared Porter, Amiel Sade. Those guys are definitely in the mix. They're in the family. Some others, some outside-the-box options. I think that they might interview Brian Bannister, the assistant pitching coach. He's 38, but he's had a really important role in the organization, being a liaison between the front office and the coaching staff in the last couple of years. He might have GM aspirations, and it would be a big step up for him. But at the same time, a really bright mind, the Red Sox might at least give him an interview. J.P. Ricciardi is a guy who's now, you know, he's been with the Mets, been with the Blue Jays. He's a local guy who's now a senior advisor with the San Francisco Giants. He could get a look. I think an interesting one is Derek Falvey with the Minnesota Twins. He's their GM. He's under the president of baseball operations, Thad Levine, and they've been working together for the last few years in Minnesota, but still, Falvey's a local guy. He's from Lynn. He's looked at as a potential future president of baseball operations, so he's one that could step in at some point, too. Plenty of names out there. It all remains to be seen what the Red Sox exactly do with Dave Dombrowski, who at 63 years old is at a point in his career where a lot of people thought that this was the last stop. Now it comes down to if the Red Sox want to part ways with him, if he's close to retirement. Very interestingly, you know, another Rob Bradford segue here. Rob Bradford asked Dave in December at the Red Sox, the premiere of their championship DVD, you know, bluntly, how long do you see yourself doing this for? He said, I don't know. I don't necessarily seeing myself doing this for another 15 years, but you know, I feel good and I'm ready to keep rolling. And it sounded like he was at least going to go, you know, 3 or 4 more years. Obviously the contract is shorter than that, but he seemed, you know, confident that he was going to be able to continue on in that role, continue on in a baseball role. It's all he's known for 40 years. You know, Alex Cora keeps saying, and as he talks about David Dombrowski, you don't last 40 years in that job getting lucky. You have to be really good at it. David Dombrowski is potentially a Hall of Fame executive, but he's not a guy who is known for wanting to rebuild. He's a guy who, under the Tigers with the Yelich family, they were chasing a World Series for a lot of their time there, you know, in the 2000s, and The signing of Prince Fielder, the trade of Miguel Cabrera, making sure that Justin Verlander was extended and signed a long-term big deals, and handing out a lot of money for a market like Detroit, making aggressive trades, salvaging, you know, or trying to salvage rosters that got close. We saw those teams 2013. That team was really good. The Red Sox faced in the ALCS. A couple other teams came really close. So they were always perennial contenders that couldn't get over the hump. And then when it came time to rebuild, Dave Dombrowski basically didn't want to be a part of the rebuild. When he finally waved the white flag on that 2015 season, he traded David Price, Joaquin Soria, and Yoenis Cespedes. Within 24 hours before the trade deadline, got a bunch of prospects back, including Matthew Boyd, Michael Fulmer, a couple names you know now. And then within 2 days, he resigned his post as GM of the Tigers, gave it up to Al Avila, who's there now, and within a couple weeks was hired by the Red Sox. So he didn't want any part of that rebuild. Time was up for him in Detroit. It'll be interesting to see if something, you know, similar happens here in the next few weeks. So we appreciate your listening as always. Red Sox and Angels this weekend at Fenway Park. We'll be back next weekend after a quick road trip in Cleveland. Thank you for listening as always to Red Sox Beat.